In today's episode, we're going to talk about how to hold your employees accountable. So make sure you stay tuned to learn more about it. So Eddie, it's been an interesting week this week.
Sure has. To say the least.
So in today's episode, we're going to talk about if you have employees that you're looking to get to the next level, or maybe not, or if you have a manager you have a training and working on that maybe not be making the steps to get the people underneath them to do what they need to do. And basically going back to just holding people accountable and what actions you can take and what not to do. So let's start off with Eddie. Mm-hmm. Hold me accountable.
Hold you accountable. So jumping into this this whole subject, this is like stuff that's actually real time that's going on right now with us. I don't know if you guys know, but we have many different departments, different managers for each department. We have one for our delivery drivers. We have a human resources manager. Danica, what's your title?
Just the customer service.
Yeah.
What? Sales manager.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. I was going to say, there's another one, customer service. I don't know if she's a manager, but...
Yeah. I think the title just says manager in it.
Okay.
It's basically like a success manager.
Yeah. And then operations manager is basically what I kind of fill in right now. And then you are basically the CEO, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so everybody has little titles. And... we all play a certain role, and we're working on right now, currently, a warehouse manager. He has been working for us for, I think, almost a year now.
Yeah, it's about 3-4 weeks off of here.
Okay, so his anniversary's coming up, but he's been working with us quite a while, and I've decided to give him the opportunity to try to be a manager. I think in the growth of our company, each person that we've promoted or given the opportunity to, we've developed them from scratch, for say, because our policies and our company needs have always been evolving, and I would say this the warehouse management position is probably the most challenging, I would say. A lot to do with like our current situation, what we got going on, operational, and different employees demanding different things from different departments. So just like the title says, holding our team accountable for what they do. One thing that we've been kind of implementing is I think me and Xavier were talking about it the other day. It's we need to get back to the basics.
Back to the basics.
Yeah, so back to the basics and, start building off on that and implementing, certain strategies and, even constructive criticism on our team. And so far it's been going pretty well. Like I said, Kobe, which is our delivery manager, he's been doing very well. He has a different approach.
Yeah, very different. Not for the weak-hearted.
Yeah, it's definitely not for the weak-hearted. But it's something that, that I've grown up with. I'm sure Xavier, since he was in football, he kind of had the same kind of teachings. It's pretty straightforward. No beating around the bush and, kind of getting the job done, kind of direct approach, which has worked very well with the company.
I feel like the guys actually receive it better at almost.
Yeah, they do receive it better. And one thing that I can say for sure is it kind of gets straight to the point who's the ones that are going to stay and who's not. It's like there's no, what's the proper term to say it?
Discrepancy.
Yeah, I guess you could say discrepancy, but
there's no if-ands. What do you mean?
I don't even think, basically pussyfooting around. It's straightforward, a direct approach. It's been working very well with our delivery team.
Oh, bluntness.
That's blunt. There you go, bluntness. That's the bluntness. There you
but
go.
The other word worked good.
There you go. Worked good too. But, so, you know, if you guys are out there right now and you're building your teams, you're going to want to have good leaders in place. And, you know, I use this, I was having a talk today with our guy, Brandon. That's, we're grooming him into the management position for the warehouse. And I used this example for him. I said, you remember the movie The Matrix? And I do this all the time, if you don't know already, but I told him, you know the movie The Matrix? He's like, yeah. You remember when, what was his name?
Morpheus,
yes. When Morpheus.
Wait. Let's wrap that back. This is like a clip moment. Wrap that thing back around and bring it through. Give it to me in 30 seconds.
Give it to me in 30 seconds?
Give it to me in 30 seconds.
All right, cool. So anyways, I'm Morpheus, and Brandon's Neo. And I know he's the chosen one, I basically told him. And I've already seen his potential. But just like in the movie, he doesn't see his full potential, and he doesn't believe in himself. And I told him, I need you to believe. That way you can fill the role. And I told him that today. And, you know, basically, like what we're talking about right now, I'm holding him accountable, you know, for the growth, where he's at, and where I want him to be. And it's just an overall process, and I think he took the message very well. I think even you had a long talk with him.
Yeah.
Just, and I think more or less you're prepping him so he doesn't take the message wrong, you know. Because a lot of people in your team, they are maybe early in their growth in their professional field, and they may not take criticism well. They might take it negatively, where we're trying to take it as constructive, where they can grow off of it. But I think, you know, if you have somebody like a partner, if not, then you need to take it in a staged approach. That way it's not taken that way. So before you have the talk with them, you say, hey, you know, kind of like what I tell my kids. I was like, hey, you know, if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be having these conversations with you. Obviously, I care. So that's how I would start the approach. But, you know, Xavier kind of took it over from today and kind of prepped him for the hard criticism, which that's what, unfortunately, it's going to boil down to. You need to give your team constructive criticism. Then you also need to give them a game plan to do better, which is what I did with our human resources. So we're gonna basically dedicate a lot of time and effort to get him up to speed. And we're also gonna work on other departments to make sure that, you know, everybody understands, like, going into the new year, what we're pushing for, and which is overall growth and just getting back to, like we said, the basics. And, you know, being a better company and more profitability, and just things are gonna start coming easier. I think once you get the basics down, then the rest is just like, it's basically a byproduct of what you put out.
Yeah. So basically, the basics that we're trying to talk about. But basically, we're just trying to get down to doing just the basics. We're getting away from any stuff that's fancy. Just doing the stuff that customers care about day in and day out. Which is, for us, is having everything clean, on time, and accurate. And if we do those three things and wrap it up with communication, and bundle that up and then give it to the customer. And we're gonna do that over and over. And that's basically what we're starting to get back to doing from a whole standpoint. But obviously everyone individually has different roles that goes along that. We've already implemented some new things. Like, we're about to start doing next week we're gonna take all the calls we have, and we're gonna start doing call reviews. So those will be on there. We'll do it with the whole sales teams. Me and Eddie will jump on some of those. But this is gonna be a regular everyday occurrence that they're gonna do, so we can make sure we get better. It's on that. Eddie's already been doing call reviews with our HR team. He's already been doing reviews with Brandon specifically. I would say on our driver's side, but we spent literally probably the last 5 months doing the same equivalent to our delivery team as we've done that we're about to start opening up to all the other ones. Because at the time, our delivery team was, I would say, our weakest link at one point in time from switching over. At first, to be honest, our warehouse team was probably the strongest.
It was the strongest.
Yeah, I think it was the strongest at one point in time. It was a very solid group.
Yeah.
And then I don't even know why our team is so much worse than what it was then. I just think the other departments have improved so much.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Well, I think it's just, and also I believe that At a point, like you said, our warehouse department was pretty strong. But as we grew, because it's one thing, like, we want to make sure that you understand, like, me and Xavier's strategy, you know, since we first started off has been, like, for the most part, all chips in. But we talk a little bit more, and we can give you more details on that. We'll have more stuff. But for the most part, like, well, we're growing significantly. Like, you know, just the other day, we spent, like, 20, you said it's too low, when I said 20,000, but, you know, 20-something thousand dollars on just 6 foot, okay? And we're buying chairs, tables, so we're consistently growing. And the growth,
about 400, I think it's almost 400 6 foot.
Yeah, so
that would be $70 each.
And then, like, from, like, every week, if it seems like, you know, new opportunities come and we keep growing. So I believe that the delivery driving team has gotten better, and been able to keep up to it with the pace. And I think that the warehouse has kind of been like the neglected stepchild, and that's where I, you know, like this week I've implicated that, hey, you know, I need to hold myself accountable for the circumstances that have arose, and I also have to hold other people accountable too. So it's only one sided. I think, you know, at the end of the day, like me and Xavier always say, like, anything that's, you know, good with the company, that's us, our success. But also at the same time, anything that's, you know, bad with the company, that's also our fault. So and that's why, like, it's good to analyze your situation in your company and see what's the good, and then also what's the bad. And then, you know, you need to determine whether you focus on doing more of the good stuff to equal out, or you pick up the bad stuff and either cut it out immediately, like he said, you know, the fancy stuff, we're going to try to get that out of there and then just get down to the basics, what we're really good at, and just run with it.
I feel like we've been doing a pretty good job, basically. I mean, on getting back to basics. I think it's kind of our model. We've been taking away stuff like farm wood tables, farm wood chairs that are wooden. We removed those because those were giving us some issues because they scrape up a lot more than the other ones.
Yeah,
we got rid of the metal shibari chairs. If you haven't noticed, if you're looking at my shibari chairs, there's a reason why the metal ones and then the the resin ones. Is it resin?
Yeah, they're resin.
The resin ones are resins are twice as much, and the metal is half the price.
Yeah.
The resin ones are just better, and better for a lot of different reasons as well.
And the wood's not too bad either. The only thing with the wood is, like, everybody knows you leave the wood outside and it gets rained on, and it slowly starts deteriorating the integrity of the wood.
Yeah.
But resin's plastic, so plastic doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm outside, they're just fine.
Yeah, so we've been working on those basic parts in there. And then now I've seen, like, we've been just on the, like, we're, basically our plan is we're about to move all our warehouses. We have 3 warehouses. Our plan for this didn't work out the way we wanted to. It still helped us grow, but we think at this point in time we're going to go down into one big warehouse, which I believe this is going to allow us to hold the team accountable more, because we're going to have managers there on a regular basis. For us, I feel like the accountability aspect of our warehouse team and other team members have been very difficult to do, because we don't see every single person every single day. And then the warehouse manager has happened to go to all 3 warehouses, which are spread out by 45 minutes to almost an hour, depending on which one you're coming from.
Yeah.
And so, like, we're trying to get that down to hold everybody accountable, hold ourselves accountable. Because our first step, as we've been taking, is that reason why I was telling everybody about the resin chairs is that we're looking at taking everything away that the company could do better on, and do better on that stuff. So there's no excuses for our employees to not do what they're supposed to do. Right now, we did have even more things in the way that I felt that made it harder for the employees to work. But I feel like we're removing those things and putting in better things into place on there. We're trying to get our vehicles back so we can have the bigger vehicles, so employees have an easier way to be able to do stuff they need to do. We're getting down to a bigger warehouse facility with outside space. That's going to allow us to have everyone under one roof to make everybody feel more like a team. Which I think is going to really help out.
Yeah.
And then we had to let a couple people go on the last thing. We had to let some really good people go. Like our dispatch manager, his name's Mark, he's pretty good, but he also was the best person at that position who wasn't following the rules and wasn't treating people with respect. So if, you know, we have to live and die by it. And from a money standpoint, in the short term, we'll probably take a loss just because he was pretty good. But in the long term, I think we gain back the respect of the employees around us even more. And I believe we're going to be able to do more than what we'll find someone else to step up and get in that position. But that was another effort that had to be exerted on that part. And then even right now with our for our full-time warehouse manager, the lead that we're trying to get into management, we're working on him and building up the process and making it easier for him so he can run it. So Eddie, what's a couple ways that you can say you can keep people accountable? Like, what if you have an employee who keeps showing up late?
Well, you know how that is. First off, you need to make sure that he acknowledges that that is an issue. And then once you have a talk with them, have a resolution plan if the next step is needed. And then in the end of the day, one thing that I've found is I believe it's 100% and it's worked very well. And I've seen it, sometimes you may keep an employee too long. Just like they say, you get a rotten fruit and put it around the good fruit, it's gonna rotten other fruit. So it's better just to go ahead and get rid of that rotten fruit. That way it doesn't pass on. What I'm saying is, for instance, bad habits, coming in late, that's one of them. Because, in our business, we depend on everything. Everything's time-based. So, we tell the customer we're going to be here at this time. So if this person's late, 1 hour, and that puts us 1 hour behind on where we could have been. They're 4 hours, and then now we're really scrambling and trying to figure out how we're going to get these things done. And then, so what happens is that, you let it slide or whatever. Now the other employees are looking and saying, well, if so-and-so can get away with this and doesn't get any kind of disciplinary action, then why shouldn't I? And then next thing you have a whole team that's, everybody's coming in whenever they want to come in. And then you have a situation where you have it out of your control because basically you have a whole mutiny on your hands. Yeah. And they're running the show. And then how can you keep the promises to your customer that, hey, we're going to make it at this time if you don't even know what time your guys are going to come in, So, what I would say basically, when you do see those problems arise, have a talk with them and just tell them that, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. That way there's no misunderstandings or anything like that. So that's the first thing I do. Then after that, like I said, just... some kind of a recourse of what are you going to do if it happens again or it continues to happen.
Yeah, I feel like for us, for a big thing like no shows, like the worst thing. It's the worst thing that you as a rental company can do to a customer, but also to the worst thing your employee can do, especially a no call, no show, and no call, no show, no reason either. I would say because there are reasons why people might not no show. Obviously, someone might be in jail or dead, or in the hospital, but most times it's. It's literally not that they just don't care enough not to show.
Yeah.
And I think no call, no show mean, they don't care about the team or anybody else around the team for the most part, especially when there's reason where they could have actually said something about it. One thing we always tell our employees, we don't care exactly when you want to work or anything like that, because we can maybe find something that works for you, but we just want you to be upfront with us at the beginning. If you know that every Wednesday you just can't come in because you have to take care of a child, don't tell us you can come in Wednesday and they never show up on Wednesday. Because, the biggest thing is communication. And as you guys know, in this industry right here, it's not like any, I don't believe anyone's waking up early in the morning, as a kid and be like, Dad, I know what I want to be. What is that? I want to deliver chairs and tables. There's no kid saying that.
Or bounce houses.
Or bounce houses. Especially not bounce houses. Kids might say, I want to play in them, but they don't want to, that's not happening. So knowing this and knowing that we have a career that a lot of times we're getting people who are young or people who have basically not worked out the best they can in the work environment or people who are from moving or something like that, along that line, then we need to know that what type of people we have as well. And a lot of times the company that we bring in and the people are not the highest quality of individuals before they get here. Or some of them, to be honest, haven't even had chances to even prove it, I would say, too. So you have to bring them in here. And like Eddie said, the
the biggest thing we've been learning to do and figure it out is like you tell people exactly what you want them to do, you make sure they understand it, and then if they don't do what you want them to do, you have some type of recourse of action that hurts them some type of way. I don't mean physically hurt them, but I mean from a...
Sometimes you have to.
But more from like, you know, you get people their pocketbooks, people's pride, people do not like getting written up for nothing. Even though it's just a piece of paper, people do not like that at all.
Yeah.
And so like just doing some type of recourse, and eventually at some point, the customer has, not the customer, but the actual employee has to conform to what you're telling them to do, or you have to change what you're telling them to do, but only two things can happen in there. But if you do change what you're saying doing, then the employee's gonna just run wild with you. If they don't confirm, then you will have to let them go. And I know it's hard, because it's hard for us to find good people, you know, and having issues with stuff like that. Because like I said before, no one's waking up and saying, I wanna work in the party rental industry. Kids, if you have heard a kid say that, whose parents doesn't own it, and their parents do, I'm pretty sure they're really not saying that. It's a hard industry we work in. You know, we do a lot of different things from, you know, it's basically like moving the stuff, you have to go bring it back every single time. And you have to take the same care and clean it. Yeah. And it's your fault if it's not put in the right area sometimes. So I'm just saying just like just every single customer, and every single employee, I say customer, because I love to talk to this customer somewhere. But every single employee, like today, specifically with Brandon, when he was talking about, I was kind of, what do you call it? Mm-hmm. I was in the first step of it. My whole thing, I believe employees don't do what you want to do for two reasons. Either they don't actually know what you want them to do, and that could be a lot of different reasons why not, or they don't care about what you want them to do. But it's usually only those two, some form of that. And obviously not knowing what to do can mean something completely else, or not being capable of doing it, or not knowing how to do it as well. But usually it's one of those two. Either they don't know or they don't care. Only one you can fix is not knowing. And only one sometimes to check if the person cares is going through and trying to fix the not knowing. And then you will find out if the person cares. So that's one thing we've been trying to do with employees, because we give people second chances, I think quite a bit. Or third chances and all stuff.
So we don't go that first time, shame on you.
Yeah.
Second time, shame on me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
It's just the type of people are. We always say that, you know. We don't ever let people change us. We just keep being the good people.
Yeah. Always doing the right thing.
Yeah. Even though it's hard sometimes.
Sometimes you're like, hey, square up. No, you have to go through this, and you have to hold every single body accountable. I think every time we let someone slide, that's when things get a little crazy.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those things, you give an inch, they take a foot. So I think here lately we've been like really tightening it down. And it's funny because, like, you know, we're talking about the new location, everything like that. And I was actually talking to Kobe, and I was like, all right. I said, this is just like in the Bible, you remember when God got them all out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And then he said, all right, you can go to the promised land. And then he's like, basically, he like killed some of them and like had them wander in the desert.
Yeah.
And then like basically the new generation is the one that he finally led to the promised land. So I was telling him, hey, so a lot of these bad habits that are happening right now, we're going to have to kill that off, because I don't want any of that to carry over into the new location. So, you know, and it's the same thing. Like, I held him accountable. I said, hey, I gave him a list of things. I said, hey, this is what we need to work on. Because when we do move over to the new place, like the spotlight's on everybody. Like, there's no way to hide, because every manager's there. We're gonna have a whole bunch of cameras.
You got like a ton of cameras.
We got like cameras for all three locations, and now these things are gonna be dumped in.
We got like 30 cameras in one spot.
So there's no hiding anywhere. And then we've done very well with like our fleet tracking. We're adding new people, and we're getting them trained up. New dispatchers. So we got people that are working on our interviews, and so it's going to be very good. I think it's going to pair out just fine with like just in time for the new year, you know, the new location, just a new goal. And the main thing is just to have everybody know what they need to be, know what needs to get done, and making sure that it gets done. If it doesn't get done, then we have to have those tough talks.
Yeah. And if you guys want
us to come up with a document that you can get. It's obviously free. You can download some of that. Reach out to us. Let us know in the comments and stuff. And we can come up with a document that tells you what course of action, depending on how you should work through things, and based on the level of egregiousness of the action is. I think 3 steps for most things should be good. Either a verbal warning, a written warning, and then a dismissal. It's pretty much a run for most things. If you tell somebody to do something and they still don't do it, you tell somebody again, especially when you're putting the time into doing it. Just watch out from, if you tell somebody to do something that they just do not know how to do. You can't tell some random person, hey, I need you to go code this website.
And then they come back and hey, what's this? A bunch of X's and
That goes into training, and our next video is going to be over training. So I want to say thank you, guys. Make sure you check out the links in the description. If you're on the podcast, they're in the show notes, and I appreciate you guys listening. If you don't know, we finally have a YouTube channel, so make sure you go check it out. We're going to be putting up shorts and long form content as well, so you guys can learn more. And check out the links below if you want to talk to us, if you want some want a consultation, want to book a time with us. The links down below. But check all the affiliate links. It really helps support the channel, and make sure you guys subscribe. And thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you in the next one.
See you guys.